Welcome to Inspired Living with Mark Lanehart, the Intuitive Prospector. Every Wednesday, Mark, along with his special guests, will explore thought-provoking topics and ideas that promote creativity, self-help, healing, happiness, and well-being to inspire you on your spiritual journey. Each week, Mark will discuss different paths to achieving a more spiritual, balanced, happy, and healthy lifestyle. Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual. Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. Mark is a tested, certified, and professional spiritual medium, metaphysical teacher, healer, and spiritual advisor with a spiritual practice based in Seattle, Washington. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
And good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you may be in this beautiful, resting, healing planet of ours. This is Inspired Living Radio here on Om Times. Thank you for joining in. I hope that you're having a fabulous Wisdom Wednesday, and I promise that this next hour is going to be a lot of fun as we start to explore the world of mediumship, the evidential, what we do in mediumship, how we connect to an unseen world. And I'm looking forward to having our guest on here just in a few minutes. But before we get to our wonderful guest, I want to just say I hope that you're staying safe. I hope that you're staying healthy, and I hope that you are staying properly informed on these unprecedented times in our history. And I just want to set an intention and just hold space for everybody that's been impacted by this pandemic, whether it's a family member or a friend or all of our frontline workers, just holding space for everybody during these difficult moments in our history. And, you know, I can say firsthand, I've had a family member test positive for COVID-19 and other family members be exposed to it. So I definitely can relate to it. So I just want to say, I hope that you're staying safe and staying inside and staying healthy until this passes, and it will pass. So I'm Mark Lanehart. You can find me at marklanehart.com. You can also internet search The Intuitive Prospector, because I'm all about spiritually prospecting for your own spiritual healing, transformations, and of course your own spiritual goal. You can catch me every Monday morning over on the Intuitive Prospector Facebook page for Metaphysical Mocha Mondays. It's a live inspirational show of 30 minutes, followed by the Healing Cafe, which we had a lot of fun this last Monday. I had a special guest on, and we did a lot of readings, including mediumship, and was able to make some reunions from what is unseen to the physical world of what is seen. So it's a lot of fun in the Healing Cafe. And those all start at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, followed by the Healing Cafe at 8:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can also catch it over on my YouTube channel. Just look for Mark Lanehart. If you want to follow the show here on Inspired Living Radio through Om Times Radio, a couple places you can do that through social media. You can go to our Facebook page, which is called Inspired Living Radio, and you can join we're over 1,500 inspired listeners from around the globe. And what I like about this radio show, and I've been on the air for 5 seasons now, is you can listen to it from anywhere in the world, no password needed, no username needed. You can go right through the internet, off your phone, off your desktop, and it streams right through the global player. So make sure to follow us at Inspired Living Radio, or you can follow us on Twitter or Instagram under the handle. Just look for Inspired For Us. That's the number for Inspired For Us. And of course, with every live show, the live shows always stream over onto the podcast format, so you can follow us over on iTunes, YouTube, SoundCloud, Podbean, marklanehart.com, and of course Om Times Radio Archives, which has all 5 seasons of Inspired Living Radio. And again, help us move up on the charts for iTunes. We're getting a lot of trying to get some reviews out there on our spirituality category for Inspired Living Radio. And what a better time to have a radio show like this to inspire others, or what I like to say, be inspired, inspire others, inspire before we expire. And we always like to say for our global audience, you are the inspired and the inspiration. So if you have questions later in the show, we will open up the phone lines. The number to call is 202-570-7057. That is the Om Times Radio call-in line. Producer Chris will put you in the waiting room until we can bring you on. And again, let's do a little spiritual prospecting for your own spiritual gold. And I want to just start out with one of the mantras that I've long talked about as we get ready to welcome our guest onto the show. I always talk about mediumship. It's not something that I always stepped into. I started with this journey many years ago, over a decade ago now, working as a professional. And I always like to say that when it comes to mediumship, when it's connecting to those who once lived a physical life and are no longer here, in the in the physical world, and they're now in the etheric plane or the spiritual world or heaven or Summerland, whatever your name you have for it. I always believe that education, comprehension, and application in what we would call modern day mediumship is a lifelong vocation of the mind, the body, and the spirit. And today we're going to explore that with Kay Reynolds. Kay is coming to the show for the very first time. We want to welcome her in. She's a medium, a public speaker, and an author of her new book. Congratulations on getting that book published and edited. It's always a chore. I'm still working on my first book here. But we're going to be talking about The Evidential Medium, a practical guide for developing mediumship. So let's talk a little bit about Kay and some of her backgrounds. Kay Reynolds is a medium, a public speaker, and the author of the new book, The Evidential Medium, a practical guide for developing mediumship. She trained as a medium at the prestigious Arthur Findlay College in Stansted, England, a place I love and know well, under the mentorship of Mavis Patillo, one of the college's longest-standing tutors. She's also been featured in Ohm Times magazine. She's had featured articles, Dying with Grace, Becoming a Professional Medium, and forthcoming article, Signs from Heaven. Looking forward to that. In The Evidential Medium, she shares her personal mediumship journey, along with some practical exercises to help readers unlock the ancient tools of mediumship that are held deep within the soul. And I agree with that. Mediumship is nothing new, you guys. This is something that's been around for a long, long time through many different cultures, through many different belief systems, through many different religions. And I'm looking forward to talking more about her book, her journey. We have a lot in common. We have the same mentor, Mavis Patillo, who I've been mentoring with since 2015, been to the college many times, and we're both writers, contributing writers for Ohm Times magazine. So with that, Kay Reynolds, welcome to Inspired Living Radio. How are you, my friend?
Oh, great. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I love being on the radio. I love doing these shows and bringing inspiration to a world that needs it right now. A lot of inspiration, a lot of guidance, and maybe even some guidance from the other world that, you know, sees of our world and maybe can help us out in navigating all these different experiences, or what I like to call soul adventures, that we're going through. So let's talk before our first break. Just tell us a little bit about yourself and the journey of writing this book, and we'll get into some of the chapters, some of the practical helpful exercises, how to strengthen your physical mediumship. But from your perspective, how did you get into mediumship, and what is your definition of mediumship, Kay?
Oh, wow. I was in denial for most of my life that I was a medium. For me, a medium was somebody that you saw on TV. It couldn't possibly be me, right? I think a lot of us go through that denial process. My first experience was probably around the age of 5 or 6, when I saw a Native American Indian in my bedroom, motioning to me not to say anything because my sister was on the top bunk bed above me, and I was just doing what girls do, was playing with my Barbie. So that was my first experience. But most of my life, as a child, I was aware that there were people from the spirit world that were always around me and following me. I always knew that. Lots of people, not just a few, but it just seemed like it went on for infinity. And with my Christian upbringing, I always contributed that to being angels, and that angels were with me. I now know that it wasn't just angels, it was family and guides and whatnot. So as an adult, well, it carried with me throughout my childhood. I had lots of dream visitations where I got messages for my mother, which I really didn't understand, but I just knew when I woke up I had to go tell her, from people that I'd never met. So that went on as a child, but as I went into adulthood, it became more frequent, and I was beginning, well, even in my teen years, I was beginning to see spirit again. So all that was going on, but I was in such denial. And growing up in the Bible Belt in the South, I learned real quick not to tell people. And so I just kind of kept it to myself. And then one day I was watching Oprah Winfrey, as we all do, and she had a guest on that was talking about mediumship, and that was my first introduction into what a medium was. But of course, I sat there watching that show thinking, man, that's what I do, but I'm not a medium. That's a famous person. That's not me. So, you know, so that was my life. But when I moved to England, I was hitting that midlife time in my life. I was, nearing 50, and I just had this sense of urgency that it was now or never. And I realized in England, it's much more open. People can talk about it. Mm-hmm. And so I started just exploring. And, I'd read every book I could read, but the books weren't really fulfilling me. And so I started exploring and discovered that in my little town, I lived right outside of Cambridge, very close to Arthur Finley College, just about an hour from there. Mm-hmm. And and so I discovered there was a circle, never heard of a circle before in my life. Discovered the spiritualist churches, never heard of the spiritualist church either. And that's where my journey began.
The ability to move to England, that's for me, it's quite a journey. It's a 9-hour flight from Seattle to get into Heathrow, and then it's another hour up by train to get to Stansted. So, who knows? Maybe I, after this year, I may move to England. Who knows, given the current state of what we're going through. But what I love is that our paths can cross different ways. And I love the skeptical mindset that you talked about. And for our inspired listeners out there who maybe, have that skeptical mindset, I always remind everybody that it's important to have that skeptical mindset to when it comes to doing mediumship or working with the intuition or working with the psychic. Because I myself, as a very, I was raised Catholic and, taught this certain thing. And after, I went through a lot of extreme traumas and tragedies, or what I call the TNT that literally blew my life up. That's what really opened me up to the world of mediumship. And I find in these pathways, some are born with it right away and they know that they have this gift and they're sensitive and they're talking to people that other people can't see. For others of us, that's what I'm writing in my book, is about how this can open up based on extreme experiences, whether it's traumatic, loss, grieving, trauma. And these can open you up to start to have an introduction to the spirit world, which can be, at first, can be a very... can be a very scary place for some. I've heard many names over the years of doing this work, but I found in doing this work, Kay, that, the spirit world always comes from a place of love and guidance and knowledge. It's not what the Hollywood films would portray. And now I'm sure there is some of that out there, because you got to have balance with light and dark and, day and night and sun and moon. But from my experience, I have not had that, that dark experience or those scary experiences. It's usually what we don't understand as humans that lead us to that place of fear. And for me, fear is false evidence appearing real. So I liked, when I read through your book, I really liked that you take the practical guide for developing mediumship. And that's what I love about England as well. I'm a member of the SNU, the Spiritual National Union of England, which started, many, many years ago before the United States. But it's funny because mediumship was really first got popular in Hydeville, upstate New York with the Fox sisters.
I know.
but the English, over in England, they do. They have spiritual churches. They have Dems where, mediums every week are connecting to the unseen world. And, when I finally made my way over there, I was like, this is where I need to be. This is my home. Because I'd been looking in the United States for a few years, and there was just, different variances and different belief systems. And that's what I love about the college. You can get certifications, you can be a member, and it's very practical. So we're going to go to our first break here in just a few minutes, but I want to talk about the writing of the book, because you said that you grew up in the Bible Belt. So I'm sure when you start talking about religion and spirituality, in your definition, what would be the difference between the two for our inspired listeners?
For religion and spirituality.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
Have you ever thought about that?
Well, for me, spirituality is following what's in your soul, to me. I mean, I listen to my soul, and I was raised in a very strict religious home. And even in all of that, I went to church 3 days a week. Mm-hmm. There was something within my soul that just kept saying, there's more to it. There's more to this. And I was always curious about what's the other part. And to me, it was my, you know, spirituality is what filled that hole there, that the religious aspect wasn't feeling for me. And I, you know, I still fall back on my religious roots because there's a lot of wonderful things there. But there was a missing part that spirituality put in there. So to me, spirituality is listening to the spirit within and following that. Yeah, that's to me.
Yeah, that's a great definition. I always like to say religion is following the messenger, spirituality is following the message itself and that spirit within. And, you know, in the Bible, there's a lot of references to not talking to mediums, right? There's a lot of fear and gloom and doom when it comes to, you know, talking to, you know, mediums, you know, and Leviticus comes up, you know, in my mind, or the book of Daniel. But there's also great books in the Bible that does talk about your spiritual gifts that can be incorporated to your spiritual journey, whether it's, you know, 1 Corinthians 12 or Ecclesiastics, 1 verse 4 through 19. I kind of know my scripture, so it's a great oxymoron if you look at the Bible. It has both religious context and spiritual context, and it really comes down to your choice of what you want to do.
Right.
You want to start connecting to the spirit world and the world that is not seen, but is very much felt and very much present in our daily moments. So we're going to cut to our first break. We're going to come back and we're going to get knee deep into this of evidential mediumship and talking about the practicality of what we do. So stick around, everybody. We'll be back with our special guest, Kay Reynolds. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
One planet, 7.3 billion people. Only one you. Life offers us many opportunities and learning experiences. Are you ready to explore and discover this beautiful planet, the life and energy all around us, the spiritual world, and what is unseen, along with your own personal soul adventure? Mark Lanehart, the intuitive prospector, is the spiritual connection you have been prospecting for. Internationally known as a tested and professional clairvoyant medium and spiritual advisor, Mark's work as a metaphysical teacher, medical instructor, radio show host, inspirational writer, and hiking guide are here to help you on a journey of self-discovery, healing, inspiration, education, and a whole lot of spiritual awesomeness. Dare to dream. Dare to explore. Dare to live. For more information on Mark's spiritual practice in Seattle, Washington, please visit marklanehart.com or internet search The Intuitive Prospector.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Inspired Living Radio. I'm your host, Mark Lanehart, the Intuitive Prospector. Today's special guest, Kay Reynolds, talking about her new book, The Evidential Medium, A Practical Guide for Developing Mediumship. So, Kay, welcome back. And let's get into talking about your book, writing the book. What does the evidential medium mean? The target audience for the book out there, and of course where people can get the book. But it's interested, you know, the audience is those interested in both, not only the psychic ability, but also the mediumship gifts that come with that. And then, you know, for those that may be just kind of out there prospecting on their own, they may have had some experience and start to question what is that unseen world or the phenomenon of life after death, or what I like to say, after death communications, ADCs. So, Kay, let's talk about, just the practicality of writing this book and why you wrote the book.
Yeah. Well, I wrote the book because, one, I love to write. And I've known for years that there was a book in me. And I'm an educator. I was a 29-year veteran teacher, and I taught writing. And I just assumed the book in me was going to be about teaching children, but I was wrong. When I started going to the Office in college, and I'd sit in those rooms where all the pioneers once sat, I would often wonder what it would have been like for me as a younger person in the Bible Belt if I'd had the opportunity that was given to me, living just down the road from the Austin College. And I had read every book that was out there on mediumship and psychic work, but it only took me so far. It didn't tell me what to do next. And so as I would sit and listen in the lectures at the Austin College, I knew that I was going to have to write a book about this. And so that's what I did. I mean, I set out to just learn as much as I could in a short amount of time so that I could come back to the States and write. Yeah.
Yeah, and I love that you got to the point where you could only learn so much, right, as far as what the books tell you. But then you had to get into the actual application about applying what mediumship is. And I'm very much the same way, you know, with my backgrounds and what I did from emergency medicine and firefighting in the U.S. Coast Guard. I've always come from a very logical, critical thinking, reasoning mind. So when I had to step into this, well, what do you mean I'm connecting with this unseen world? The logic to me didn't make a lot of sense. And so I did the same thing. Right. I read a lot of books starting to understand, you know, what is psychic? What is mediumship? Is there a difference? And I realized, wow, I guess maybe I've been sensitive my whole life, but after my brothers passed into spirit, I really started to hear their voices. And the analytical mind goes, oh my gosh, Mark, you've gone crazy. But then I'm like, well, I can't go crazy because I can't diagnose, somebody that has lost their mind can't self-diagnose themselves. So I'm like, okay, I haven't lost my mind, so there must be something to this. And that application process is what eventually led me to the college. And I remember stepping into the beautiful grounds, the historical grounds, the healing grounds of Arthur Findlay College in England in Stansted. And I was like, wow, amazing. I'm here, but this is also kind of crazy. Like, you just got on a plane and flew 9 hours to go to a college to learn about healing and psychic and spiritualism and mediumship. It's all kind of crazy. So you have this journey of the mind where you're kind of conflicted. And then as I started to apply and started to learn and comprehend, then I started to see this unseen world. Very similar to what I would describe the wind, right? We all would agree that when the wind hits the trees move, but we don't see the wind with our physical eye, right? We see the effects of the wind. And I always like to say we have three eyes, two physical eyes to look and one third eye to see. And it's when you start to open up that third eye, that you start to discover this world of, the spiritual wind or the air that we breathe, right? We know that we need air, but we don't see it, but we know that we need it. We need it every day. And then if you start to look at the etheric world, the spirit world, heaven, whatever your belief system is, you realize that they're just a thought away. They are a world within a world, very much a part of our physical world. We just have to have a new way of seeing and feeling and knowing. And what are some, for you, as you're writing this book, what are some of the signs that really resonate with you? And I know you talk about it in the book as well, but for our listening audience out there, what are some big signs that really get your attention? Because they don't have a voice anymore, right? So they have to find a new way to get our attention. What are some of the signs that you find most frequently in your journey?
For me, it would have been with my dad, who in life would have thought I was absolutely bonkers. But in the spirit world, he's been the one that's pushed me. He's the one that pushed me to do this, which is bizarre for me to even imagine that. But he's my biggest cheerleader. But when he passed away, he would do all kinds of things with electronics. He was constantly turning on the TV and turning it off, and the radios and the lights. Mm-hmm. He even was able one day to throw pennies out from under a bed. We physically saw this happening, and it was my dad. And we asked him to stop because it was scaring the children, and he stopped, you know. So, but he would do all kinds of things. He had an old van. He was handicapped in a wheelchair, so he had a special van. And he loved that van because that was his escape to leave the house. And after he passed, it was an old van. And so he passed in the 80s. And when we would get out of the van, turn it off, go in the house, and 5 minutes later, all the lights would be on in the van, the radio would be playing. He did this all the time. He still does it. But that's the big thing for him.
I love the fact, the songs, right? The radio. I find that songs carry words, right? It's almost like they use the radio to become the voice. And then when you realize what the song is, and I get a lot of songs in movies in my referencing, my symbols when I'm, you know, do a reading. And then people go, well, I don't understand that song. And then I say, you know, if it doesn't actually have a meaning to you, go look at the words of the song, because I find that the words themselves can be a direct way of the spirit world talking to you. And then they go and they listen to the song, and then they have a whole different experience with the song connection, because it's like the person, like your dad coming from the other side, is talking to you through a song. So it's very, very interesting. I find it fascinating from a psychology standpoint, from a science standpoint, from a, you know, even a skeptic. Yeah, I find it still to this day, and I've done hundreds of readings, Kay, with people all around the world, and I still find it fascinating. In fact, just a quick story for our inspired listeners out there. I did my live Healing Cafe on Facebook that I do every Monday morning, and I did the Healing Cafe where I do free readings and I connect with people all around the globe, and I brought one of my students in that I've been mentoring for many years, and he was nervous because it was live on, you know, Facebook and, you know, out in the public. And a gentleman had been coming to the show for about 4 weeks trying to connect to his friend, and I just couldn't make the connection. And I always tell the audience that sometimes I may not be the right medium to make that connection. Can't force the spirit world to work for us. It doesn't work that way. We work for them, and they show up and give us the messages when we need to. And so when I brought Gabriel on to be my special guest on the Healing Cafe, guess what? A gentleman showed up and said, hey, is there a message for me from my friend? And Gabriel ended up being the right medium for him, and gave him the message that he had been seeking for almost 4 or 5 weeks. And then, you know, people would say, oh, that's coincidental or synchronicity. But I find that in synchronicity, there is meaningful happenings with that. And it helped him to bring that healing, because that's what mediumship is all about, healing and serving and transforming people to see a bigger picture. So I just wanted to share that quick story because I just found it fascinating. I'm just sitting back going, oh my gosh, I haven't been able to connect for this guy, but, you know, Gabriel shows up first time and he's spot on with his message. And we get a lot of stuff wrong too, right? We don't always get things right. We're human. We make, you know, we make mistakes, but it's that development and learning and that practicality that helps us. So for the listeners out there, pay attention to the songs. Yeah, pay attention to the songs, pay attention to the movies, pay attention to the books you're reading. I find that poems or words in books can really have meaning. And I know, you know, from reading... Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that also the thoughts that come through your mind when you hear that song, what's the first thought? Who did you think of? You know, or, you know, things like this happen to people in my family all the time, where song or electronics. And my first question is, who did you think of first? And they'll give a name, and I went, that's, you know, more than likely that's who was there. You know, it's that, who did you think of? Who did you think of? You know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I'm writing in my book. They're only ever a thought away. And for our inspired listeners out there, I know a lot of you that are listening to today's show, or if you catch the podcast, you'll be driving in your car, or you'll be out in your garden, you'll be walking the dog, and all of a sudden, a person that you are really close to, whether it's a person or and or a fur baby, will just pop into your head, and you'll be like, okay, where the heck did that come from? That's their way of getting our attention.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another sign that my dad used to always give was just like a nanosecond whiff of a cigarette, because he was a heavy smoker. I always knew he was there. I'd just smell that cigarette, because nobody smokes in my house. Nobody. You know, so there was no chance that it could be anybody in my house. But I would smell that. Yeah, that's another common one for people. Or the smell of perfume, or the or a perfume. Favorite flower.
I get baked goods a lot as food, things baking will come up as far as that. And for our listeners out there, we call that clairefactory. So that's the ability that you have. Your body has the normal five senses that we're all in agreement with. See it, taste it, touch it, hear it, smell it. But then when you get into your spiritual development, whether you're developing as a psychic or as a psychic and a medium, because there is a difference between the two, you start to work with your clairs, the ability of clairgustances, which is the ability of taste, claircognizance, which is the ability of knowing, clairfactory, which is the ability to smell, right? And it's funny, because one of my very first readings I ever did, that same thing, I started to smell a pipe smoking in the distance. And I'm literally looking around like, who's smoking? Who has a pipe?
Who's here?
Well, it ended up being the sitter's it ended up being the sitter's grandfather that she didn't even know that he smoked, and she found out and validated after the fact. So, you know, in your book, I know that you talk about the clairs. I know you talk about working with our senses, because that's a big part of it. Mm-hmm. So when you had heard about mediumship and you started to seek guidance, what was really kind of a memory that you might want to share with our inspired listeners out there that really kind of put you over the top, like, yes, this is real. I'm not crazy. I'm going to follow this journey.
Yeah. Well, you know, you talked about trauma. And even though I've been aware of spirit since, you know, my early 5 or 6 years old, I went through a traumatic experience. I lived in Germany prior to England, and I became very, very ill. I was very close to death. And during that experience, I had doctor after doctor tell me I might live, I might not, but I might. And I had this moment. I had a, you know, come to Jesus moment, and I was driving down the road. I was actually in the States when I got diagnosed, and that song that Carrie Underwood sings, "Jesus Take the Wheel," that song came on, and I literally just let go of the wheel and said, "I can't do this on my own.
Oh my.
I'm leaving this up to you. You know, if it's time for me to come, I'm ready. If you have work for me to do, I'll stay. I'm leaving it. I'm handing it to you." And it was at that moment, that very moment, that I knew without a shadow of a doubt, no matter what any doctor told me, and I had many, I was going to be okay. And that was a defining moment for me, because I was very much aware of the procedures that they were doing to me. I was very much aware of the spirit world in the room with us. I mean, more aware than I'd ever been. And in this process of trying to find a doctor, because I have a very rare disease, in this process of trying to find help for me, I was very much aware of the spirit world. And people were coming that I wasn't aware of, people I didn't know. And that was a turning point for me. I had a tutor give me a reading and told me I made a pact with God, and that I would do the mediumship. And I didn't really make a pact with God that I would do the mediumship. I just said, "I'm giving it to you. If you want to take me, take me. But if you want me to stay, I'll stay." But maybe.
Well, you did say,
maybe,
"Jesus, take the wheel."
I did.
You did say that.
I sure did. But long story short, when I just surrendered, is what I did. And I got the help that I needed. And once I was back in Germany, I knew that I had to go to England. and I didn't know why I needed to go to England, but I found a doctor in England, and that's what took me to England. But even though I was going because of the doctor, because there was, he's the only doctor in all of Europe that we could find, even though I was going because of him, I knew that wasn't the reason why I was going. And then when I got there, all of a sudden, I got healthy. And I only lived an hour from the Arthur Finley College. You know? And then that's where the cow came in. That's where the cow came. We were talking about
spiritual cow.
I ended up living in an old barn conversion, like 300-year-old barn. And every time I walked into the kitchen, I heard a cow move. And we joked about it all the time, about the house was haunted by a cow. Perhaps, you know, cattle lived in that barn. But that was funny. But that cow is part of what, another thing that spurs me on to, I need to explore this. And that's what got me going. And then I just, it was a snowball effect. Once I opened that door, it was a snowball effect. And I started learning about the circles and spiritual churches and discovered the Arthur Finley College. Yeah.
And I love the exploration of it. That's why, you know, I became the intuitive prospector, because it's about prospecting, but you have to put that work in, the right mindset, absolutely, the right attitude. And it's not easy, but to find that diamond within, you know, just like a real prospector that gets out in nature and works and digs in the dirt. And when you find that gold or that diamond within, it's worth all that work, including moving to England, being an hour away from the college. Oh, my goodness. If I was an hour away from the college, I'd be there all the time. I'd probably live there. But, you know, it's kind of like you talked about, you know, let go and let God or Jesus take the wheel. You know, and I find, you know, as you're saying that, a quote from Rumi, well, a couple quotes from Rumi comes up for me, and it talks about, you know, that, you know, not to feel lonely, that the entire universe is inside you. And when you finally surrender, and that's some of the things I teach on with my students, is the first thing is trust. If you can't move into that place of trust and surrender, it's going to be a very long, difficult journey. Not to say that it can't be completed, but you're going to be fighting against yourself the whole way through. And so trust, patience, and surrender are three of the pillars of mediumship that I teach on all the time. And then it also reminds me of what, you know, Nikola Tesla talks about. As we're connecting right now through via the radio waves, Nikola Tesla, who is known in the late 1800s as the father of frequency. The only reason we're connected right now is because he discovered, you know, frequency. But he always talked about, if you want to unlock the secrets of the universe and what is unseen, think in terms of energy, think in terms of frequency, think in terms of vibration, and it becomes very much like that spiritual wind of how they connect to us. And again, they'll plant in our mind. You know, everybody's waiting to hear this big booming voice in the sky, and it actually is not that at all. It's actually more of a place of silence. It's, you know, not for everybody. Some do hear this big booming voice in the sky, or have this, you know, I'm hearing voices off in the distance. But for a lot of, you know, students that I've trained over the years, they find that they have that voice of hearing that voice of spirit in the silence. And Rumi talked about that all the time, that the silence and the silence is the language of God, and all else is just poor translation. And, you know, moving through the power of meditation and silence and stillness, and just let that spiritual wind come over you, and you'll start to have some pretty amazing things.
Yeah. But, you know, if you think about it, we are...
So Kate, hold on to that thought. We'll pick that up on the backside of this 2-minute commercial. This is our last break for Inspired Living. We're going to be right back here with our very special guest today, Kay Reynolds, talking about the Evidential Medium, a practical guide for developing mediumship. Stay tuned.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Have you wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is gonna help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Welcome back to Inspired Living Radio. Our special guest today on the show, Kay Reynolds, talking about her new book, new published book, The Evidential Medium, A Practical Guide for Developing Mediumship. And during the commercial break there, Kay, I was thinking of another Rumi quote where, you know, it talks for our inspired listeners out there. You were born with wings. Why prefer to crawl through life? And I've noticed that ever since I've now tuned into the world of mediumship and the unseen etheric spiritual world, which is a place of love, not a place of fear and doom and gloom that Hollywood would, you know, like to sell their movies that way. But I found that you can fly. You can get a whole new perspective of life and how you see your life, how you see the world around you through mediumship. That's what I've really learned. And I've healed and transformed by doing readings for others and bringing through the reunions of life after death. And that's what I personally believe that mediumship is all about. But let's get your perspective on mediumship.
Yeah, we're healers. We are, you know, all mediums are natural healers. And there's lots of ways you can heal. But we heal through our words, we heal through our action, we heal through our being as well, just being in the present. So, you know, we have to heal ourselves in order for us to heal the, you know, others. So that's that part of that, you know, going within and that inner search and making sure that you are in the right place. And that your spirit is healed so that you can heal the spirit of others. But now, that to me is the beauty of it, is finding, touching the souls of others. And, you know, that's my goal, is when I do a reading with somebody, is to touch the soul, not just the soul of the person sitting across from me, but also my spirit communicator as well, and be that bridge, the voice for the voiceless, and allow that healing, if there is healing that needs to take place, to allow that to happen, but to really touch the souls. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I love that you said bridge. Another Rumi quote comes to mind when you said bridge. Love is the bridge between you and everything. It's kind of like, it reminds me of the Rainbow Bridge in Coco, the Disney movie about the Mexican celebration of Day of the Dead. And great cartoon if you haven't seen it. It's all about mediumship in a sense. It's about going over that rainbow bridge and remembering your loved ones. And, you know, mediumship brings a lot of healing, but I also found it brings a lot of joy. It can bring, you know, your book is, you know, the evidential medium, because there are things that come through that, you know, I get this, and I'm sure you do, Kay, as well, with the, you know, the age of social media and Google and internet searches. People say, well, did you look that up? And, you know, or did you research me or before the reading? And I say no, because one, the spirit world's watching what I do, and two, they're going to bring through information that probably won't be on your social media page. It'll be a memory, it'll be a story, it'll be something, you know, and that's where the evidential mediumship comes into play. But I'm sure you've had that where people have asked, well, you could have researched that or you could look me up. And that's true, but there's that skepticism where, you know, I leave it up to the intelligence of the spirit world to say, hey, were you just recently talking about getting a tattoo? And they say, well, yes. Well, that's not on your social media page, but your mom, coming from the spirit world, just said she saw the conversation you were having with your sister. Is that true? Well, that is true. How did you know that? Well, I don't know it. Your mom just told me that.
Right.
So I loved how you said the bridge, because it is a bridge of intelligence, but also love And, you know, I just find that, you know, they're just a thought away. And, you know, even if we're grieving the loss, you know, that's, I came to this through trauma and tragedy, but, you know, I always remind people that, you know, don't grieve, because anything that you love will come around in another form, will come around in a different way, a feeling, emotion, a cigarette smell, a perfume smell, a flower smell, a song, a book. Even somebody that maybe even looks like your loved one, which we call body doubles. They look just like your loved one in the physical world where you find yourself staring at them. I had somebody that looked like one of my brothers.
Happen.
And and I'm like, I'm sorry, but I'm just going to stare at you because you remind me so much of my brother. And he's like, oh, that's cool. You know?
Yeah.
And I just let him know that, hey, I'm staring at you, not because I'm not trying to pick you up or I'm not trying to hit on you, but two, you look like my brother. And it just brought a lot of memories. And he smiled. He was actually okay with that. So you can have body doubles. Yeah. There's many ways
for
the spirit world. Yeah. Nature, animals. So tell me, what was one of your favorite chapters to write in the book? What really... you know, kind of inspired you on the book, and what was one of your favorite chapters? I did like the spiritual cow. When I started reading, I thought that was kind of funny.
The spiritual cow?
Yeah, just how you were hearing the cow mooing and the barn. And
yeah, that was funny. I think that's hard to say, but I think maybe chapter 8, the wow factor, because I love getting the wow factor. Because to me,
don't
the wow factor... Yes. Our egos need that, don't they? But to me, the wow factor is when you really touch the soul, and you know, you see the tear forming in the eye, because you know that you've touched something deep within them. And the exercise that I do in the book there is one that probably one of my favorite ones to do. And that I learned at the college from multiple tutors use that same technique. But I love that one because you bring in all the different clairs and connect them all together and try to get that wow factor. I that's probably my favorite.
Got it. Yeah, reach the wow factor. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, also, I like the one, it's one of the earlier chapters, I think it's chapter 4, where I use the analogy of the grannies and how, you know, using descriptors, and if you look at typical grandmothers, they all look the same.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're describing a grandmother with wide-framed glasses and short, curly gray hair, you've pretty much described everybody's grandmother, at least grandmothers of my era. You know, I liked that one too. I used to call it the na-na-na-na-na-na-na Batman. Because they all look the same. So you really have to move beyond that, stretch yourself, and move into what it is that you're seeing, blend in with that image, to get the whole story, because I've brought through some grandmothers that had amazing stories. One who took care of orphans during World War II, whose parents were hiding because they were Jewish, you know, and a monument that stands in her honor now for the work that she did. So just amazing stories. You know, there's more to a grandmother than bacon pies in the kitchen. So I like that chapter too. Yeah.
Yeah, and I like that you can unfold that journey because you'll find that the spirit world too will connect to usually what I call our database of information of what we were familiar with. And then from there, you can start to unfold and build that intelligence and that evidence, that wow factor from being a storyteller or, you know, maybe given the description, but then going more into, you know, what they did or, you know, being in charge of orphans during World War II. Things, it kind of reminded me when you said that, I was thinking the Diary of Anne Frank, actually. We were just looking at a Netflix documentary on that for 2 years, living and hiding during the Nazi campaign in a small room, her and her family. But yeah, it's getting that evidence and being the storyteller. And the one thing I've found over the last decade of doing this, you know, professionally, is yeah, that emotion that can come through. And sometimes it's hard for you not to engage, mm-hmm. right? Even as a professional, you're kind of like,
right.
I don't want to seem callous or sense, you know, and not empathic here, but I can feel that emotion too. And I want to just cry with you, but I still got to get the message across. I still got to be the right. messenger without being in the way of myself. And I found over the last decade, you know, mediumship from a professional standpoint started to change. When I started in this journey of development over almost 15, 16 years ago, almost 17 years now, it was more of the checklist mediumship. Some of the first people that I tutored with or mentored was checklist. Like, okay, do I have a man? Mm-hmm. You know, do I have a woman? Yeah. It was very stuffy. It was very uniformed. And over the years, mm-hmm. as I went to the college, and even the tutors at the college started to be more open of being a storyteller and let things unfold as they would, instead of trying to mm-hmm. control the narrative, let the narrative come to you naturally. And that's one of the biggest changes I've seen over the last probably 6 years, where it's not necessarily the checklist mediumship where you have to go down this checklist and you have to get 4 check marks in order to make the message work. I found by, you know, making that connection and then, like you said, moving into the essence of the grandma and then giving the story and being a storyteller and let the story unfold. And again, right. you know, with the sitters coming back telling you yes or no or I'm not sure, don't let them feed you, of course, because that's where you're going to get your wow factors and your evidence. I have seen a difference, and I'm curious to see as we move forward in the next 25 years how mediumship and technology and science and spiritualism, especially with everything that's going on right now, Kay. You know, we found that mediumship really started to rise up after the Civil War because so many men were lost that families, you know, widows were trying to connect, including Abraham Lincoln to his son, who even brought a medium into the White House. It's going to be interesting to see with what we're going on with this pandemic and the virus and just kind of all the upheaval that we see going on. I firmly believe that this is also going to be a transformation to grow and to transform the work we do as mediums as we move into a new transformation or way of being. What do you think?
I agree completely. And it's interesting, you know, like 4 years ago, I felt this coming. I knew that we were going to be where we are right now. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't understand it because it felt like civil war to me. But it wasn't civil war, but it felt like it. And I knew, but I also felt in my heart that it was going to be transforming for the better.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we're going to go right through the storm.
Yeah. In order to be stronger, just like, you know, we use sea terms as a coastie, we'd always say in order to develop your sea legs, you're not going to develop sea legs by just constantly going through calm seas. You have to have some major storms to get through those storms, and we'll get through it, of course, but you have to, you know, you're going to grow stronger from that. It's kind of like when you cut yourself and it heals and then you develop scar tissue. It's actually stronger. Does the cut hurt? Yeah, it hurts a lot.
Yeah.
But when it heals, it may be a reminder to you of what that pain was, but then you know that it's going to heal. And that, you know, even, you know, again, I hate to keep using Rumi here, but Rumi talked about the cure for the pain is the pain. And there's going to be a lot of reminders for us. And it's going to be interesting to see how the spiritual world starts to evolve with us and to connect with us. And I think technology and science are going to really kind of bring that together from, you know, psychology.
Oh, I do
too. Testing. Yeah, I think from medicine, from, you know, just, you know, meditation, we're seeing a big way in meditation, how animals communicate to us. You know, are we alone in the universe? I think there's going to be a lot of questions that are going to be starting to open and answer. But we grow stronger through it, just like, you know, we have scar tissue, or I always think of the bowls that get broken in the Japanese culture. Instead of throwing the bowl out, they repair the cracks with gold. So you can actually see the cracks, right? But at the same time, the bowl becomes worth more because it's filled with gold. And if there's no cracks, how do you let the light in? So that's what we're seeing, whether it's civil war, culture war, revolution, whatever you want to call it. It's going to be great change in history to reflect on that. But I think it's going to be very interesting to see how mediumship also evolves with the changing cultures.
Yeah. You know, in my book, I talk about going within and mm-hmm. journaling to the soul. And I do that. And I wrote about this very thing on June 2nd. I'd love mm-hmm. to share it if that's okay.
Yeah, if you can and do it response, in about 1 minute.
I think I can. I think I can.
Okay.
I just wrote, "Dear soul, I woke this morning 4 a.m. early. My mind was racing with thoughts of all that has transpired. And so far this year, especially the events of the last week, I didn't want to get up, but something within me urged me to move my body and begin my day. I did the usual, made my cup of coffee, found myself on the deck gazing at the stars in the night sky. Taking a deep breath in, I stood in wonderment of God's creation, the soft outline of the Smoky Mountains, just across the valley, the stars shining upon me, and the faint sound of what could only be deemed the sounds of a coyote yapping in the distance. I thanked God for the stillness, the silence of the morning. I thanked him for reminding me that even in the midst of the chaos that surrounds my world, that peace remains wherever you seek it. I asked God, what could I do to help my world? I asked him, where is the light shining to lead the way? On this day, dear soul of mine, what words of wisdom do you have for me as I begin my day? How does one find the light leading the way? And the response I got was, dear sweet child, it is with great sadness that we look down upon you and witness such heartache and despair. It is our wish for you and all of mankind to be reminded of which they have come and which they are made from. Our world, we do not see you in human form. We see you as the divine light, the light that you are, the divine spark of the Creator, which is what we see. We move past the physical body and the layers upon layers of human experience and go straight to who you truly are, divine love. We do not see black, white, or yellow. We see all the colors of your being. And my, what a beautiful sight it is to behold. And I'll stop right now.
Yeah, that's beautiful, Kate. Thank you so much. And again, as you start to walk on the way appears. It's been awesome having you on today's show. If you want to get Kay's book, you can find her at kreynolds.org. You can also find her on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube, or just go to the Inspired Living Radio page and click on any of the links. Kay, thank you for being an inspiration and doing everything that you do. Love to have you back on the show at a later date. And until our next soul adventure together, be kind, be caring, be compassionate,